This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.
The death toll continues to rise after wildfires in Maui as hundreds remain missing. Plus, driverless cars get a big boost in the Bay Area, and our look at Xi Jinping's goal of making China a global leader in AI and chips.
The U.S. sanctions really leave China between a rock and a hard place because chips are a critical ingredient to AI development. But whereas before it was sort of an urgent thing to do, now with the sanctions, it's mission critical.
It's Friday, August 11th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Maui officials say that 55 people have been confirmed dead in this week's devastating wildfire on the island. Authorities say as many as 1,000 people could still be missing amid ongoing search and rescue efforts, while many more remain without power. A blaze that devastated the town of Lahaina is one of three that have torn through Maui this week, fueled by powerful winds caused by Hurricane Dora. Here was Hawaii Governor Josh Green.
What we saw was likely the largest natural disaster in Hawaii state history. The number has been rising, and we will continue to see loss of life. But we're just about 48 hours in, and there's tragedy on the roadside. There's tragedy in the homes in Lahaina, and we're trying to be very careful to respect the dignity of people who have had such loss. It is going to take many years to rebuild Lahaina. When you see the full extent of the destruction of Lahaina, it will shock you. It does appear like a bomb and fire went off, if I may. And all of those buildings virtually are going to have to be rebuilt. It will be a new Lahaina.
President Biden has declared the situation in Maui a major disaster and pledged immediate federal support to those affected. Separately, Biden has requested about $12 billion from Congress to respond to natural disasters, including fighting wildfires, as part of a broader funding appeal that included $24 billion in support for Ukraine. Turning to China now, where there are further signs of trouble in the country's property market. Ratings company Moody's has downgraded developer Country Garden after it missed interest payments earlier this week, with the company now sitting deep in junk territory. And China Markets reporter Rebecca Fung says that's not the extent of the sector's troubles.
So Country Garden, the fact that it missed payment is deeply troubling, actually, for the sector, because so far it has been making timely payments. And the idea goes, if even Country Garden can go down, then the other ones are probably having a lot of troubles too. And today, there's another developer called Fantasia. It's much smaller, but it was actually one of the first developers to default. So Fantasia resumed trading today after many, many months, and so far it's down more than 55%. So clearly investors are not buying into the story that it could come back up to the level before its default.
Swiss banking giant UBS has terminated agreements with the Swiss government and central bank to cover potential losses from its takeover of former rival Credit Suisse. The bank has ended a $114 billion liquidity backstop and repaid a multi-billion dollar loan following an assessment of Credit Suisse's funding and assets. The Swiss government said that with the contracts ending, it, along with Swiss taxpayers, no longer bear any financial risks linked to the deal. To California now, where driverless cars have been given a green light in San Francisco. California's Public Utilities Commission has voted to allow vehicles from Cruise and Waymo to further deploy across the city and for the companies to charge for rides in them. City officials had previously expressed concerns about the proposal, citing a recent tripling of reported incidents involving the cars, while the companies told the Journal at the time that their cars hadn't caused any traffic fatalities. Striking Hollywood screenwriters are set to resume negotiations today with major studios and streaming services. Screenwriters have now been on strike for 101 days and have been joined on picket lines by actors who are also striking to seek better compensation, as well as protections against the use of AI in the industry. And diamonds are beginning to look like a buyer's best friend. After ring shoppers paid through the nose in 2021 and 2022 for the priciest gems in years, Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street columnist Jinju Lee says that diamond prices have fallen back down to earth.
Polished diamond prices have come off about 27% since the peak in 2022. And interestingly, there's bigger discounts on larger stones. On the supply side, the industry probably overproduced when demand spiked in the last 2 years, and Russian diamond supply is also coming back. On the demand side, consumers are generally in pullback mode on discretionary spending, and there's also less couples getting engaged. Signet Jewelers said the number of engagements fell by a low double-digit percentage compared with a year ago.
However, Jinju says the pricing honeymoon may be a short one. Signet has reported a major rebound in dating after singles got vaccinated, which should lead to resurgence in diamond demand. Coming up, U.S. chipmaker NVIDIA is currently the world-leading chipmaker for artificial intelligence, but Xi Jinping wants that to be China's crown. We'll look at his push to make the country the global pace setter in AI, as well as the chips that power it, after the break.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize our proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is the final week of our in-depth series on China and how Xi Jinping's dream of transforming the country into a global superpower is progressing. And today, Wall Street Journal China tech reporter Karen Hao is here to talk artificial intelligence, the semiconductor industry behind it, and Xi's ambitions to make China a leader in both. Karen, listeners of the show will remember recent stories of yours, including about China being early to set rules around AI. And yet China has a problem, right? U.S. sanctions have cut it off from the world's most advanced chips. And just this week, the Biden administration took fresh steps to restrict U.S. investments into critical technology in China. Where does that leave China then as it tries to accelerate research?
The U.S. sanctions, they really leave China in between a rock and a hard place because chips are a critical ingredient to AI development. The better the chips that you have, the better and the faster that you can develop cutting-edge AI systems. And arguably, you don't necessarily need the best chips for a wide range of different AI systems. But at the same time, China wants to have the best chips. They want to be able to develop the most cutting-edge AI and to do it quickly. So China is definitely trying to face this problem now by taking matters into its own hands, developing its own domestic chips. And this has been a goal that China has had for a while. The government has identified semiconductors as a critical technological bottleneck for many years now. But whereas before it was sort of like an urgent thing to do, now with the sanctions, it's mission critical.
So just a massive technological undertaking, it sounds like, is underway here with lots at stake in terms of all the things that AI could potentially unlock, it sounds like, in the view of Chinese leadership. What is the plan to achieve that?
There's kind of a two-pronged approach that Xi has been taking. So most recently, he started really stocking the government leadership with technocrats. So he doubled the number of technocrats in the Central Committee, which is the elite government body that decides major national policies. And then the second prong is China has always done this, but it's really trying to engage in an aggressive industrial policy. So they're trying to redirect as much state funding as possible, basically, into trying to create a domestic chip industry. And These two things are very interlinked, these two prongs of the strategy. When you look at the backgrounds of the technocrats that have been promoted into the Central Committee, a really large number of them have an aerospace background, and they're actually, there's even a name for them. They're called like the Aerospace Clique or the Cosmos Club. And part of the reason is because the space industry for China was one of the major success stories of China successfully gaining self-sufficiency in an area where, as a country, it felt it was being cut off from international collaboration. China was barred from participating in the International Space Station. And since then, China has successfully created a rival to the International Space Station. And so the promotion of these key leaders from the space industry into the government, it seems like Xi is essentially attempting to help bring more of that expertise from one industry into another, hoping that space will kind of translate into other strategic sectors like semiconductors.
So the question now then is how this effort to become self-sufficient in the development of AI chips is progressing. It's something we spoke to Professor Yang Yu about. He is a machine learning and AI expert at the National University of Singapore. And he told us that, yeah, while there are high-performance chips made in China, American-made NVIDIA chips still outperform the very best by four times.
Probably it's possible for Chinese chip vendors to design a high-performance chip. But the most important thing is how stable they are. For example, I work with a Chinese chip vendor. Their peak performance is very high, very competitive. However, when we use their chip, we need 3 months to debug because they have too many issues. But if we use NVIDIA's new product, often we just need 1 day or several days to finish all the testing because their software is so good and so stable.
What about that? That sounds like a pretty big disadvantage that China's facing.
Yeah, so Professor Yu sort of touches on multiple points here. One is that when you look at the chip making landscape in China, China has generally gotten good at designing chips. But as he said, there's like this critical piece of it. You can design it in theory, but then you have to make the thing. And once you make the thing, not only does it have to be made at scale and relatively cheaply, it also needs to be reliable. And so when he's talking about the fact that there are stability issues, this is one of the challenges with Chinese manufactured chips, is the design looks really great on paper, it has great performance, but then when you use it in practice, it can crash as you're trying to train an AI system. And this becomes particularly problematic when you're developing really large AI models like ChatGPT, GPT-4 scale AI models, where you're using thousands of chips in tandem to train something, because if you're doing that and one chip crashes, all the chips crash and you are back to zero, you have to start all over again. And these systems can take days, weeks, or sometimes even months to actually train. So having something crash, you know, 3 months in is a huge deal and very expensive.
And I would imagine adding to the sense of urgency in China here is that its competition is not standing still, right? Rival companies are continuing to best each other on innovation. What does that mean then for Xi's Chinese dream of powering the AI of the future?
Chinese companies right now are stockpiling US chips, and that can help them weather the storm in the short term. The question is, can that amount of time that they've bought themselves be enough for then Chinese domestic chip industry to finally deliver a domestic chip? When it comes to developing any technology within China, like the government can do all it wants and like stamp its feet and try to get companies to develop these technologies, but you really need people to want to work in these industries as well. And what we are seeing is, because there is now such a mission critical need within the country to develop domestic chips, that it has become kind of an exciting industry again. And there's also a lot of Chinese companies that previously would have never ever considered buying domestic chips, because why would they? They have NVIDIA, who are now actually also trying to partner with domestic chip companies and are willing to take a little bit of a hit in performance in the hopes that long-term, that kind of partnership and investment will pay out. Also, China has a lot of levers that it's going to try to pull to hit back at the US as well. One of the major areas that China has dominance in is the metals and minerals that go into chip making. So we've just seen China actually just restricted exports of two minerals used in high-performance chips recently as an attempt to try and kind of counter U.S. pressure with its own pressure and try to prevent the U.S. from essentially adding more sanctions to the sanctions pile. And one other thing to mention here is that we've been talking a lot about generative AI, which is the AI technologies today that use particularly vast amounts of cutting-edge chips. But generative AI is a little bit overhyped right now. And just because China might not be leading in generative AI doesn't mean that it suddenly doesn't have AI. A large majority of AI applications actually don't need the Mercedes of chips. They just need the Toyota, and they just need something that is reliable, and they're developing smaller models. And that might be AI applications in education, AI applications in healthcare. So it's not that, like, these sanctions or the potential inability to develop a domestic chip would suddenly completely remove China from the AI game altogether. China is still going to be an AI leader, and Chinese companies are going to be exporting those technologies to many markets that the U.S. often overlooks, including Africa, Latin America, Southeast Asia, and it's going to be a way for China to continue expanding its influence in these regions.
That was Wall Street Journal China tech reporter Karen Hao. Karen, thank you so much for breaking this all down for us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that concludes our four-part special series on Xi's Chinese dream, a dream of continued economic growth, military might, of robust national security defenses, no matter the consequences for business, and of global tech leadership. You can revisit our past episodes on China wherever you get your podcasts. And for more exclusive audio content, check out WSJ Special Access on Spotify. It's available for WSJ subscribers, and if you're not one already, head to the link that we've left in our show notes. And that was What's News for Friday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.